We're on Daf Kuf Yud Tes Omud Aleph. On the previous Omud, the Gemara quoted various statements of various Amoraim. Each one was boasting, so to speak, about his particular mitzvah, the mitzvah that he excelled in. And the last statement was that of Abaye. Abaye says, I deserve, hopefully, reward for the fact that whenever I see a Talmud Chacham, a budding scholar, who completes a Masechta, then I actually host a Seuda, what we call a Siyum, in his honor. Avidna Yoma Tavel Rabbonan. I make it into a holiday for the rabbis. Sabai was the Rosh Hashiva, and he was in charge of making sure that whenever a Talmud would finish a Masechta, they would have a beautiful celebration in the yeshiva in honor of the Siyum. And the Yamshel Shlomo, one of the famous commentaries from 5 centuries ago, the Marshal, his last name was Luria, he writes that this Gemara is the source for the Simchas Su'udas Siyum. It's all here. Omar Rava, Tasili, Rava says that my favorite mitzvah, for which I'll get schar, is the chiyasa tzurmi mirabonan lekamoi lidina. If I know that tomorrow I'm going to be sitting in judgment, and one of the litigants is a Talmud Chacham, lo mazigna, I don't lay or rest, reshe my head, a beisaja. Beisaja is a pillow. So I learned 2 things from this. Number one, that Rava went to sleep at night. Number two, he had a pillow. And Kama, he says he doesn't rest his head on the pillow at night until Delo Mahafchana Bischuse. You know, going over like the facts of the case, he got a little bit of a summary of the case, and he would review the case. Maybe at first glance it would seem that the evidence weighed in against the Talmud Chacham, and he would mull over in his mind. He couldn't even put himself to sleep at night. How can I, because of my chiba, my love for Talmidei Chachamim, I must be mahapik b'schuso. I have to look and see, maybe there's something here that I can bring to the fore. So he would put in that extra effort. Omar Mar Baravashi, Mar Baravashi went even a step further. He says, I am disqualified as a judge if there's a Talmud Chacham who is one of the litigants. My time is because the Chaviv Alai Ki Gufai. I love him the way I love my own self. And just like a person doesn't see any negative in himself, he wouldn't see the counterclaims and so forth. He can't be objective. Eino dem roa chova liatzmo. So too, I can't see a chova for a Talmud Chacham, because I love him like I love myself. Rabbi Chanina, now the Gemara goes through different Kabbalah Shabbos of the Amoraim. Mi'atef, he would put a talis over his head. V'koya panya, and he would wear beautiful clothing. Demale Shabsa, on Erev Shabbos. Omar, he declared to his students, Bo v'netze l'kras Shabbos ha-malka. Let's go out and greet the Shabbos queen. This is the source for what went on in Tzfat 5 centuries ago, at the time of the Arizal, and how they went out into the fields, into the woods, and they were the Makabal Shabbos, and then Alkabetz, of course, one of the disciples of the Ari, authored the Lecha Dodi. It's all based on this Gemara. Rav Yanai Lovish Mani Ma'ali Shabbos. Rav Yanai used to wear his best clothes, Lekovit Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos, V'Yomar, Boi Chala, Boi Chala. He called the Shabbos a Kala, probably because Chazal say that the Shabbos is the bride, Klal Yisrael is the groom, and there's a relationship, almost a marriage relationship, between the people of Israel and Shabbos. It's interesting, the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Shabbos calls the Shabbos a Melech. The Kabbalists, I think, more related to Shabbos as the Shechina, which is always in feminine, and it's the Malka, but we should know that the Rambam, as the paradigm of Halachist, he saw Shabbos as a Melech. There are people, by the way, who have a minig of going all the way to the entrance into the synagogue when they say, Boi Chala, Boi Chala. Rabba Barav Huna Ikla Lebe Rabba Barav Nachman. So Rabba all of a sudden showed up as a guest, and it was a surprise visit to Rabba Barav Nachman on Shabbos. Krivale, they brought in front of him Plus Save Tchuye. Three sa'as worth, which is a massive amount, of Tchuye. Tchuye are Rikikim, which is otherwise known as a pas daka, a very fine kind of bread, which was smeared with oil, and it was something very special. Amalhu, so Rabba said, the guest said to the host, Mihaviyadisun dasina? In other words, he thought that this was a very special item that was prepared for him in his honor. Did you know that I was coming? Amule, so the host answers, Rabba, Mihadifaslan mine? Are you any greater than the Shabbos? And we would have done this for the Shabbos to fulfill the mitzvah of a karasa, the Shabbos owning, even if you weren't here. And I often wonder about this Gemara, if this has to do with the Sugyan Chulin, which is called Gnevas Das, that sometimes people think you're doing something in their honor, and the question is, do you have to tell them, no, I would have done it anyway, I didn't even know you were coming. Rabbi Abba Zovan, this is a fascinating piece of Gemara. There were 13 butcher shops in the local kosher butcher shops in the local town of Rabbi Abba. He went to buy in all 13 butcher shops, and he spent istere pshite, which is a certain kind of a sella, kind of a currency that he spent to buy bisra, purchase meat, mitlesar tabachi, from all 13 butchers. And apparently he would never know on any occasion which is his favorite butcher shop, which is the best meat. And he wanted to make sure that he got a sampling, a taste of all 13 butcher shops in town. Umashlim lehu atzinora didosha. He would give over the meat to his mishamshim, you know, the kitchen staff who would prepare his meat. And when he came with one meat, let's say one delivery from one particular butcher, he didn't even have time to go into the house. He stood on the entrance of the house, v'yomalu, and he told the shamoshim, Ashur chaya, Ashur chaya. In other words, be mischazek immediately. Prepare this food, because I'm going to be bringing you more food and more food and more food. So you're going to be very busy on Erev Shabbos, preparing 13 different meat dishes that came from 13 different butcher shops. And he wanted to guarantee that he would have the best meat for Shabbos. Rabbi Avo Havi Yasiv. Rabbi Avo used to sit atachtika deshina on a very, very fancy kise. And it was produced from the ivory of an elephant. You have to be very rich in order to take enough ivory from it. Today it's probably against all the laws, but and take all that ivory and make a table out of it. Imagine an ivory table. Umoshif Nura, and despite his great wealth, he himself personally, on Erev Shabbos, would light the fire. and make sure to blow so that the fire would go up for the cooking for Shabbos. That was his Kvod Shabbos. Rav Hanan Levisha Gudna. Rav Hanan would wear on Friday darker clothes, black clothes, in order to indicate that today is not a day to be fancy. We have to prepare for Shabbos and do whatever we can. And that reflects a brisa of Tana Debei Rabbi Yishmael. Begodim Shebishal Bem Kedera L'Rabo, if a servant wears certain clothing for cooking, when he cooks for his master, and therefore there's a certain odor, a certain smell from the cooking, and he might get dirty with stains and so forth. So, Al Yibzo Bahem Kos L'Rabo, when he comes to pour the wine for his master, he should be wearing fancy clothes. So he has two sets of clothes. And these are the different clothes of Erev Shabbos and Shabbos. Erev Shabbos is a time for Bishul, it's a time for getting down into the, you know, into the bunkers and really getting yourself dirty, preparing for Shabbos. And then you come in front of the master for Kiddush on Friday night, like the Eved who pours the wine, and you wear your Shabbos best. Rav Safra Machrich Reisha, apparently they used to eat the head of a lamb or another animal, and they had to scorch it over the fire. He took that job. That was Rav Safra. This is a Gemara also, Masechta Kiddushin, at the beginning of the second parak, Mitzvah Bo Yosef Vivishlucho. He didn't allow the servants and the maid to do that. He did it himself personally. Rava Malach Shibuta, they had a very special fish, a large fish, very tasty, called Shibuta. Today, they're trying to figure out exactly which fish it is, Shibuta. It's all. And Rava would personally salt the fish. Rav Huna Madlik Shrugge, he didn't just rely on his wife to light the candles of Shabbos. He also wanted to light the candles. Today we have a minhag that the husband should prepare the candles beforehand for his wife. Rav Chisda Parim Silka, he used to slice the beets into very small slices. Rabba Rav Yosef Matzli Tzibe, they used to personally go out and cut the branches, the logs of the tree into smaller pieces in order to feed the fire for Shabbos. Rav Zera Mitzates Tzituse, he would make sure that all the different small pieces of wood that would make up the fire were interacting in the right way so that the flame would go up. These were all great Torah scholars. Some of them were the heads of yeshiva. But the Gemara wants to illustrate that when it comes to kavod, to give kavod for the Shabbos Malka, you do this personally, you don't delegate it to the servants. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Mekatef V'Oil Mekatef V'Nofik. He would put burdens on his shoulder, take it out, take it back in. These were all carrying different kinds of packages of food and the like that were necessary for Shabbos. And the Gemara compares this to a host, and his Rebbe is coming as a guest, and the host personally gets involved in bringing in supplies and preparing Lekovet HaOreach. Omar, and therefore Rav Nachman would declare, Ilu Mekalin Li, if who would come to visit me, none other than Rabbi Ami Rav Asi, Milo Makatfina Kamayu, wouldn't I be carrying all the burdens of all the merchandise and the necessary supplies on my shoulders? How much more so the covered Shabbos, the Malka? Ika Diamri, others say it was just the reverse. It was Rabbi Ami Rav Asi Makatfi V'Yail Makatfi V'Nofik. They were carrying in and out the burdens for Tzorchei Shabbos and bringing it into the house. And Amri, they would declare, Ilu Iklalon Rabbi Yochanan. These were Talmidim Rabbi Yochanan. If our Rebbe Rabbi Yochanan would come and be a guest in our house, Milo Makatfinan Kamei, would we not certainly carry, schlep all the burdens this way and that way, certainly for Kovod Shabbos, that's what we're going to do. The next story in the Gemara and the Agadita is a very, very famous story. These are the stories that we tell our children. Yosef Mokir Shabbat. There was a certain individual by the name of Yosef, and they added an adjective, an appellation to his name. He was called that, the person who loved the Shabbos. Why? Havahu Nachri Bishvavusei. There was a guy who lived in his neighborhood, Davi Nafish Nichsei Tuve, who was very, very wealthy. Amri Le Kaldoi. The astrologers told him, Kulu Nichsei Yosef Mokar Shabi Ochalu. There's a certain Jew by the name of Yosef Mokar Shabbos, and he is going to inherit all your wealth. So this guy gets very nervous when he hears the astrological prediction. He ozel zavinu lekulu nichsei. He went and he sold all his property, and with all those funds, massive amount of funds, zavin bu marganisa, he purchased the most precious jewel in the world. You can imagine the queen, you know, the jewel that he bought. And with this pearl, osfei besane, he had made himself a felt hat, and he took the hat and he embroidered, so to speak, this beautiful margolit into his hat. Bahali de ka over Mabra, when he was crossing a bridge, Afriche Zika. Zika's a wind. A wind came along and blew off his hat. Shadye Vimaya. And it ended up in the river. Bale Kavre, and a big fish came. Apparently the pearl got loose from his hat by the water, and the fish swallowed up the pearl. Askua, they brought up the fish, and they were fishermen. Aisua Anpe Demali Shabsa, and they brought it to the marketplace. It happened to have been a Friday afternoon, it was quite late. Amri, so the fisherman said, who's going to buy this fish? It's, you know, the Jewish Sabbath is just about to arrive. Man zovin ki hashta, at this late hour, who's going to buy it? Amri lu, so they said to the fisherman, zilu go, to Yehu, bring it, legabe Yosef Mokar Shabsi, the rugil de zovin. He's going to buy this fish, even at the last moment before Shabbos, because that's his hergil, that's what he does. To Yehu nil of his avni, they brought him the fish and he bought it. Kare, he cut it up for Shabbos, Ashkech Bei Marganisa, and he found this beautiful, valuable pearl. Zavne, he sold it on the market. Betlesar Ilose de Dinra de Hava. And this is a massive amount of gold. It's Shloshesre Alios, right? You can fill up 13 houses with Dinre Zav. That's how much gold he had. Pogabe Ahu Saba, an elderly Jew, met Yosef. Omar, and he says to Yosef, Man di Yosef Shabsa, Pare Shabsa. You are a living example of the fact that if somebody borrows money, he gets paid back double of what he borrowed, so to speak. In other words, you borrow money for Shabbos. It's so important to you, Otsa Shabbos, that you dig into your bank account, and now HaKadosh Baruch Hu has paid you back. Boy, minei Rebbe, mi Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi, Ashirim, Sheber Tzor, v'mayim Zochim. The wealth of Eretz Yisrael at that time, what merit? Amole b'shvil shema asrim, because everything that they grow in their fields in Eretz Yisrael, they give the tithe properly. Shenemar, and the Torah says, Aser ta aser is called Tvua Saracha. Why does the double language Aser ta aser? Aser b'shvil shetit asher. As a result of being makpid on Maaser, God will make you an usher. So the word Maaser is the same, has the same short, the same letters, and not only a tenth, but as wealthy. So that was their thing. In Bavel, we have some rich people in Babylonia as well. B'mehem zochim. Omaluhu b'shvil shemechabdim es haTorah. The Jews in Bavel had a great love for the Torah. Ashir shebeshar arotzes b'mehem zochim. Now it seems that at that time, the centers of Torah learning were in Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. The balance of the world they weren't such great scholars, and they weren't so exceptional in their meticulous fulfillment of the mitzvahs and in their love for Torah. So what was their zchus, those rich people? Even those who are not scholars, they have a love for Shabbos, and they respect and give honor to the Shabbos. That's why they were blessed with this great reward. Omar Chia Bar Abba, Hamachas Nisarachti Etzel Balabais Beludkia. In a certain place, I was a guest in the house of one particular Balabas, Vehevil Afanov. He was very wealthy, so they brought him a Shulchan Shel Zav, a golden table. Masoi, it was so heavy that Shishasar Bnei Adam, they needed 16 people to carry this table. And this is how they prepared for Shabbos. Sheshesrei Shal Shalosh Shal Kesef Kvuas Bo. There were certain rungs on the side, you know, little hooks that they needed to carry it. They were 16 of these hooks that were made of pure silver. Ka'aros, sukosos, vikitnios, utsluchios, kvuos bo. And there were all sorts of types of cups that I'll read to you the English translation of they're all similar, so it's he says that they brought him a gold table that required 16 people to carry it, and there were 16 silver chains set in it. Again, these chains, because there were four chains on each section of the table, each corner of the table, and they were attached to handles so that these 16 porters could carry it. And there were plates, cups, drinking ladles, bottles set in this, on this table. The olav kol mine machol v'kol mine megodim ubesamim, on the table there are every kinds of foods, kinds of delicacies and spices. And the Sfaradim today are very makpid, you know, they have different spices that they smell on Shabbos. Sometimes they use adasim. And this was a whole ritual, bringing out this table. Ksheminichem also, when they put the table down and set the table, they used to declare, Lashem ha'aretz umaloa. And the pasuk tells us, to Hashem is the earth and all its fullness. And this is in Tehillim Perek Chaf Dalet. And then Kishim Esalkin also, when they took the table back, Omrim, they would declare another pasuk in Kuf Tes Vav in Tehillim, Hashamayim Shamayim Lashem Veha'aretz Nasan Livnei Adam. And by quoting these psukim, they recognize and acknowledge that it's only God who's given us the ability to enjoy this bounty. Amarti lo, the Reb Chiya was the guest, he turns to the host and he says, you know what? Beniba mezo chisalakach, you must have some great mitzvah that's your spets, and therefore you're rewarded with all this wealth. Amali katsof ha'yisi, I was a butcher. When we call behemah shoysenah, instead of taking the most beautiful meat, the basar, high quality, and selling it, what I did is, amarti zute l'shabbos, I'm keeping this for my Shabbos. And this really reflects, interesting enough, the Shita Beis Shammai, that whenever you have a piece of meat, even on a Sunday, you should designate it for Shabbos. Amarti lo ashrecha shezachisu baruch hamakom shezikcha bekach. Fortunate are you, in other words, he praised him that you merited such a great reward, and God has bestowed upon you such a great reward, you really deserve it for your love for Shabbos. Amalo Kesar l'Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, also a very a very famous Agarita. In which the Caesar turns to Rabbi Yeshua, he says, "Mipnei ma tavshil shel Shabbos recho nodef." We know that the Jews prepare for Shabbos, let's call it a cholent, and we smell it all over the city. Amalo tavlin echad yesh lanu. We have something that we add an ingredient, a special ingredient. It's a spice that no one else has. The Shabbos, it's the Shabbos. Sha'anu matilin l'socha, we put into the tavshil. And therefore, Reichon Nodev, that's why it has such a unique smell. A fragrant odor. Omalo, teili heimenu. I'd love to taste it. Omalo, Rav Shuva Chananya told him, I don't want to disappoint you. Kol ha-mishamers ha-Shabbos mo'ilo. The taste is enhanced by someone who appreciates the Shabbos. But sha'enu mishamers ha-Shabbos, you don't have the Shabbos, it's not menu mo'ilo. It's not going to be so meaningful. Now again, if we had time, this Agadita, each one of these Agadita is a gem unto itself, the Marsha, especially the Maral. They all embellish all the symbolic meaning, the number 16 that we spoke about before. Omalei Reishka Lusarav Hemnuna Maidich Siv. There seems to be an extra word in the Pasuk in Yeshaya Nunches, that's the parasha that we've mentioned over and over again about the Kvod Shabbos. It says, V'karos l'Shabbos oneg, l'kdosh Hashem mechubad, v'chibadeto me'asos drachecha. So why does it say l'kdosh Hashem when the previous Pasuk, part of the Pasuk says, V'karos l'Shabbos oneg, it's almost redundant. Unless you're talking about a different day, and there's another day that's endowed with sanctity, and the Pasuk is generating a Chiyuv Kavod. Omaleser of Hemnuna wrote, responded, Ze Yom HaKippurim. This is Yom Kippur. And there's a special, unique Pasuk here to tell you about Kavod Yom HaKippurim. She'ein bo lo achila vo shesia. You cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Oneg on Yom Kippur the way you would do it on Shabbos. The covet is the way you dress. And v'chibadato, with regard to Shabbos, because with regard to Yom HaKippurim, it says mechubot. But v'chibadato, Rav Omar lahakdim, that on Shabbos he should eat his suda earlier than he does during the week. Ushmul Omar li'acher, Shmuel says, delay the suda Shabbos. And everyone wants to somehow make Shabbos very special. From Rav's perspective, let's eagerly start our Suda, not delay. From Shmuel's perspective, let's arouse an appetite and delay our Suda. And we'll eat it l'teyovim by delaying it. Omru le'ra b'nei Rav Papa, bar abla Rav Papa, the children of Rav Papa, asked Rav Papa, go na nandish. Apparently, they were very wealthy. They ate meat and drank wine on a regular basis every day of the week. So what would make our Shabbos Suda special? Amalehu, he told them, based on the Gemara of Rav and Shmuel, if on a weekday you generally eat early, achrua, on Shabbos eat later. If on the other hand you eat late on a weekday, akdumua, be mocked in the Shabbos. The main thing is to have a heker that something is different on Shabbos. Now the story of Rav Sheshes and his Talmidim. Rav Sheshes was blind and he wouldn't know what time of the day it was because he couldn't look at the sun. So what he did was, when he gave a drush on Shabbos in front of his Talmidim, Bekaita, kaita means during the summer months when the sun was intense. Mosif lu rabbanon hecha de matya shimsha. He would make sure that the students would sit in that area where the sun would come when it rises, and the talmidim would come and tell him that it's time, you know, to get out of the sun. You know, it's we're burning hot, or besitva. During the autumn months, when there was more cold, Mosif Lurabbana and Hecha de Matya Tula. So during the winter, he would put his Talmidim in a place where it would get chilly as the day went on. Ki Hecha de Likmi Chaya. So his Talmidim would be able to notify the Rebbe that it's time to go eat the Suda Shabbos. You know, the sun has come, and so forth. They would certainly move around, and they would rise up. He says here, when it became too warm or too cold, they would alert Rav Sheshes that it's time to conclude the drasha, time to send people home and eat their Shabbos meal. Rav Zera, and now we're going to turn to Daf Kuf Yud Tes Amud Beis, Mahader Azuzei Zuzei Dirabbanan. Zuzei means chevruses. He would go and look for the chevruses who were learning Torah, and Amarlu, and he would warn them, V'masusa minaychu, please, I beg of you, lo techalune, don't violate the Shabbos. Now it's very nice that you're learning Torah, but we have a mitzvah on Shabbos, close the gemaras, go home, and eat your suda, and be mekayim the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos. Omar Rava, v'itei Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, afili yochid amispal bi erev Shabbos. Even a person is not in a Beis HaKnesses, not with a tzibur, he's davening on erev Shabbos, tzorch lomer vayechulu. He has to declare that God created the world. If a person recites Vayechulu on Erev Shabbos, and he testifies therefore on God's creative power, Malal of Akosuv, the Torah considers it Ki'ilu Nasis Shutov LaKadosh Baruch Hu B'mais Abrachus. He's a partner in the creative process. Shenemar Vayechulu Hashemayim Va'ovetz, and Al Tikri Vayechulu Ela Vayechalu. Vayechalu means, and they completed the work of God. So God created the world so that we could acknowledge Him as the Creator. And through the Shabbos, that's what we do. If we testify Vayechulu, then we help, so to speak, bring about the purpose of God's creation, and therefore we are like partners in the creation of the world. Omer Rav Lozar, Minayin Shadibur Kemaisa. How do we know that when a person speaks about God's creation, it's as if he did a maisa, it's as if he actually created something? Shenema, the Pesukim Tehillim says, V'dvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu, that God created the world through the 10 utterances, and we too will utter those statements and those recite those verses that indicate that God created the world, and that's going to be considered Shamayim Nasu, as if we created the world itself. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchim has other explanations about Shabbos and the meaning of Shabbos. He speaks about social justice for the, you know, letting the servants, you know, get a day off, the animals and so on and so on. He also speaks about, you know, Shabbos is a day for psychological health because, you know, all the pressures. But the Gemara seems to be indicating that the purpose of the experience of Shabbos is to appreciate God as creator, and that has deep mystical meanings. Omar Rav Chizkiya Amar Ukva Kala Mispalei Be'er V'Shabbos Yom Vayechulu. If he recites Vayechulu on Erev Shabbos, Shnei Malachi Ashos Melavim Lo Li'odam. He'll have two angels that will escort him back to his house on Shabbos night. Menichim Yedeim Al Rosho. And although you don't see this with your eyes, they are actually putting their hands on your head. V'Omrim Lo. And they're saying to him, V'sar avonecha v'chatoscha techupar, which means that the Shabbos itself will atone for your sins. That's the power of Shabbos. Further, with regard to the blessing of the angels on the night of Shabbos, Tnina, Tanya, we have a brayso of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yudomir, Shnei Malachi Ashois Malavim Lo Liodam, the Erev Shabbos. There are two Malachim that will escort a person on the night of Shabbos, Mibes HaKnesses, Lebeso, from the shul to his house. Echad, one of them is Tov. He's the Malach who appreciates when we do good. The Echad Ra. And he's the one who points out in front of the heavenly court that there's something not Beseder that's going on over here. Kshebah Lebeso, he comes home from Shabbos, if he finds Ne'er Dolk Shulchan Aruch Umitasu Mutzas, everything is perfectly spotless, everything is perfectly prepared for the Shabbos, the candles are lit, the table is set, the beds are made, the Malach Tov says, Yiratzon, I want to bless you, may it be his will, Shetehei Shabbos Acheres Kach, that next Shabbos you should also have this beautiful experience of receiving the Shabbos. Malach Ra, on the other hand, the evil Malach, he says Amen to the Bracha, the Malach Tov, but if on the other hand, Im Lav, he comes home, the Malachim escort him and nothing's ready for Shabbos, is a Malach Ra Omer Yiratzon Shetehei Gam L'Shabbos Acheres Kach, this should be your experience. Next Shabbos also come home and there's nothing prepared. Umalach HaTov Ona Amen Bal Korch, when the Malach Tov has no choice but to say Amen. Om Rabbi Eliezer, how do you fulfill the mitzvah of Kovet Shabbos? Le'olam Yisadar Odom Et Shulchano B'Erev Shabbos. Already on Erev Shabbos, he should be mechaved the Shabbos, prepare for the guest of Shabbos, put out the tablecloth, the food, and set up the table so beautifully. Afal pishei no tzorech el kizayith. And the Mepharshim say, what does it mean? He doesn't need more than a small amount in olive size. It means that he was at a bris or some other mitzvah, and he ate what he had to eat for that Suda's mitzvah. So really, this Friday night, he doesn't need more than a kizayis. Or, for example, he's not, he was called upon to officiate at some sort of a mitzvah. And he should nevertheless prepare the Shabbos table with all the beautiful foods as if it was a regular Shabbos. Om Rab Chanina Li Olam Yisader Odom Es Shulchanu Motzoi Shabbos. This is what we call him Alav Malka. And we say goodbye to the Shabbos. And we should prepare this by setting up the table. Afal Pishen Etzorech El Kizayis. I'm sorry, where am I? Malugma. Yeah, I read the right. Afal Pishen Etzorech El Kizayis. Again, he should make a beautiful spread. And this is certainly true during the summer months. He ate shal shudas. He's not that hungry. All he needs is a kezayis. But b'derech kavod, to be malava the Shabbos as it leaves, to escort the Shabbos as it leaves, just like you escort the king who is in the city, and now it's time for him to leave, and you prepare a beautiful shulchan. And chamin v'motzoi Shabbos, he should bathe himself in hot water. And Melugma, and he should also have anything that might see after Shabbos. There's a certain weakness, you know, when the Neshama Yisera departs. So he should prepare that which is good to restore his health, and a paschama, a warm, fresh, a loaf of bread, and that too is a malugma. So washing, bathing in warm water after Shabbos is a malugma, meaning a refuah, it's beneficial for the health, and so too to eat a fresh baked bread on Motzi Shabbos is also a malugma, is also a refuah. And basically, what he's trying to do on Motzi Shabbos is indicate that what he was not allowed to do on Shabbos, now he's allowed to do. And that indicates the transition from Shabbos to Chol. So for example, on Shabbos he's not allowed to heat up water for bathing. He's not allowed to bake a bread. These are the things he does right after Shabbos to demonstrate that the Shabbos has left him. Rabbi Avo Avi Avdin Le Biafuke Shabbos, so they would prepare for him on Motzi Shabbos Igla Tilsa. If you have a third born calf, apparently the meat of a third born calf is very healthy and very tasty. It's a high level, high quality, and they would prepare it for him. Havi Ochel Minei Kulyasa. And he would even eat the kidneys, apparently they were tasty. And when the sun of Rabbi Avo, his name was Avimi, Ki Godal, when he grew up and he was matured, he saw this meeting of his father on a weekly basis. Amalei, he was wondering about it. Lama l'chol afsudei kuli hai. You're going to slaughter this egel, this third-born calf, and you're going to eat the kloyos, and you're going to take the special kidneys. Why do you do all that? And it seems like a waste of money. Nishbo kuliyosav imali shabosa. In any event, you slaughter an egel, l'kovid Shabbos on Erev Shabbos. Why not just put away, shavkua, put away the kidneys for Motzi Shabbos? You save yourself the whole business of having to shecht another animal. And as a result of this recommendation of Rabbi Avo, they tried an experiment, shavku, they slaughtered the animal on Erev Shabbos, they set aside the kidneys, v'osa arye v'achle, and an animal, a lion, came and ate up the kidneys. And they ended up with nothing on Motzi Shabbos. So Mefarshim explained that this was a kind of a punishment, because even though technically speaking they could have done with this kind of this kind of arrangement, but the banquet of Motzi Shabbos, the Malava Malka, should be so special that it's not that you use just a leftover from Shabbos. You know, people very often on Motzei Shabbos, they eat leftovers. No. There should be something that was prepared specially for that Seuda. Om Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, kol ha'oneh omen yesh mei rabo mevorech b'kol kolcho mevorech b'kol kolcho. Now the Gemara goes into detail, once having mentioned Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi about Omen Yehesh Mei Rabba, and Bechol Kocho doesn't mean he has to scream it out loud, it means Bechol Kavanoso, with all his passion and his emotion, he's declaring that the great full name of God will be glorified, because now the name of God is incomplete. We only have the Yud K, we don't have the Vav K, since Amalek reigns in the world. So with all earnest and genuine sincerity, he's praying, petitioning for that time in which God's name will be complete, and the forces of evil and the anti-Semitic Amaleks of the generation will be destroyed. It's Koren Lois Gzardino. This is such a great merit that if he has some sort of decree for evil, it would be ripped up. Shenemar, because it says in Shoftim, Bifroa praos bi Yisrael, Bisnadev am Baruch Hashem. Right, let's read the English translation of this pasuk. When calamities are averted in Israel, when the people dedicate themselves, bless Hashem. So it says that calamities will be averted in Israel. My time of before pros, why would these calamities be averted? Mishum, because as it says in the end of the pasuk, Bisnadev am Baruchu Hashem, the people dedicate themselves to bless Hashem. And that blessing, Rabbi Yeshua identifies with Yehesh Mei Rabba. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, he said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Afilu yesh po shemet shel avodah zarah mochlim lo. If he has the proper kavana for Yehesh Mei Rabba, then even if he was guilty of some sort of trace shemets, a shmek we would call it, of avodah zarah, God will forgive him. And how do I know this? Ksiv hacha, here in this pasuk, which is in Shoftim, it says Bifroa praos uksiv hasam. With regard to the Cheta Egel, the same word is used in the pasuk. It says Ki parua, that Moshe Rabbeinu sees the nation of Israel parua, and parua there has a different meaning. It means uncovered. But the Gezeirah Shavah is going to teach us that even for an Avera of Parua, like the Avodah Zorah of the Egel, is nevertheless Bifra Praos, these calamities will be averted. If somebody responds Amen, and he has in mind Amen is Kel Melech Ne'eman, some of the poskim say he should say the word Amen in the amount of time it would, he doesn't say it, but he thinks it of Kel Melech Ne'eman. So whenever he says Amen, God, you are reliable, I have faith in you, you are dependable. Is poskim lo shari Gan Eden, the Sharim of Gan Eden are open in front of Shenemar, as the Pasuk tells us in Yeshayahu Hanavi, Pisku Shi'orim V'yavo Goy Tzadik Shomer Amunim, open O gates and let enter the righteous nation that keeps the faith. Shomer Amunim keeps the faith. Al Tikri Shomer Amunim, don't read it that keeps the faith. Ela Omrim Sha'omrim Amen. So we have Amunim, which is the plural of the word Amen. So open the gates of Gan Eden in front of those who are faithful to the word Amen, to the Amen. And elsewhere the Gemara talks about different kinds of Amen and exactly how you have to properly recite the word Amen. Man Amen, what does Amen mean? Omar of Rabbi Chanina Kel Melech Ne'eman, God the trustworthy King. So when a person responds Amen, he's affirming God's control of the universe and that God will fulfill all his promises. So therefore God is trustworthy, and making that declaration makes him worthy of merits entering into the garden, the gates of the Garden of Eden, of the Shari Gan Eden. It's basically an affirmation or an acceptance of God's greatness, of his providence, of his omnipotence, the fact that he's reliable to fulfill and live up to all his promises. Rabbi Yehuda Breda Rabbi Shmuel Mishmeida Rav Ein Hadleika Mitzuya El B'makum Sheishkilu Shabbos. So that if a fire breaks out, we know that this is a punishment for the declaration, for the desecration of Shabbos. Shenemar, because the pasuk says in Yirmiyahu Hanavi, V'im lo tishmu'u elai, if you will not hearken to my words, L'kadesh es yom ha-Shabbos, to live up to the requirements of the sanctity of Shabbos, ulibli se'es masa, not to carry any burden, and Yirmiyahu Hanavi spells out the punishment. What is the punishment? Vitzati esh b'shareha, I will ignite a fire in its gates, meaning the gates of Yerushalayim, v'achla, and it will consume the palaces of Yerushalayim v'lo tichbeh, and it will not be extinguished. So the Gemara asks, "My v'lo tichbeh? What do you mean? It will not be extinguished? Why is that?" So Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, "B'shar she'ein b'nei yodim mitzuyim lechabosa." The fire will break out when there are no people around to extinguish it, and therefore it will continue. There won't be Jews who are available to put out the fire because it's Shabbos. The final clincher, I mean, there were many, many different sins that the Gemara in Gittin enumerates for causing Churban Abayis, but the clincher is Chil Shabbos. Shenemar, we may Shabsosai, Halimu Eneim, Va'echal, Bitocham. And this is the prophecy of Yechezkel HaNavi. And therefore, he declares, our Kohanim have done violence to my Torah, my Sabbaths, they have averted their eyes, from my Sabbath they have averted their eyes, and I became profaned in their midst. So the destruction is described by a fire, and that's the fire that is a punishment for the sin of desecrating the Shabbos, and therefore Abai concludes that the sin, the primary sin for which Yerushalayim was destroyed, was Chil Shabbos. Now, why is this sin laid at the feet of the Kohanim? And the answer is, Sifsei Kohen Yishmu Das, that the Kohanim are responsible to be the teachers of Israel. They should have inspired the people to observe the Shabbos properly. Now, once we have Abaye's understanding of the Churban and what caused the Churban, the Gemara discusses other statements of other Amoraim in this same context. Amar Rabbi Avo, Lo Charve Yushalayim, El Bishvil Shebitlu Kriyat Shema Shachris V'Arvis. What brought about the destruction was that they failed to fulfill the mitzvah twice a day of Kriyat Shema, which is Emunah, our faith in God. Shenemar, as the Pasuk tells us in Yeshayahu HaNavi, Hoy, woe, Mashkimi Baboker Shechar Yerdofu. They rise up early in the morning to drink wine. They linger late into the night, and the wine inflames them. Uksiv. And it says, V'hoya kinor v'nevel tofi chalil v'yayin mishteyem v'espol Hashem lo yabitu. This is the heavy rebuke of the Navi. The people are making parties. Harp, the lyre, the drum, the flute, the wine. These are all their parties. But to the works of Hashem, they do not look. They don't pay attention to their obligation to acknowledge God's oneness by reciting Kriyat Shema. They sing, they drink, late into the night, early into the morning. These are the times that one should be involved in reciting Kriyat Shema. They're not interested. They're more interested in partying. Uksiv, and further, the Navi says, Lachain gola amim ibli das. Therefore, my people have gone into exile for the want of knowledge. And what the Navi is saying, their failure to recognize the importance of Shema. Omer Rav Hamnuna Lacharvi Yushalayim El Bishvil Shebitlu Ba Tinokos Shel Beis Raman. The highest level of Torah study is the pure children, the young children, Tinokos Shel Beis Raman. And they were Mavatel, this, you know, they sent the kids to other kinds of schools, not to learn Torah. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, again, I think it's Yeshayahu HaNavi, let me just double check that, just 1 second. We don't have too much time, but Shenemar, oh, it's Yirmiyahu HaNavi in this case. I'll read the whole pasuk to you. It says, "Ve'es Hamas Hashem Malesi Nilesi Achin Shvoch Al Olol Bachutz." Olol means a young child, and Shvoch is anger. Shvoch Hamascha, and the anger of God is meted out as a revenge against Olol. And then that's what they did to the children. Mishum Sha'Olol Bachutz. It says Olol Bachutz means they sent the Olalim, the young children, outside of the Cheder, outside of the Beis Raman. And that's going to bring about the Churban of Yerushalayim. Another explanation for Yerushalayim's destruction, Omer Ula, Lo Charva Yerushalayim El Mipnei Shelo Hoya Bahem. For the Jewish people of that generation, they didn't have Boshes Panim Zemizeh. They were not embarrassed one from the other. And there was nothing there for to deter sin. They would violate sins without any embarrassment. This is also part of the Tochacha of Yirmiyahu when he says, Shedemar, Hovishu, you should be embarrassed, Ki Toeva Asu, that they have involved themselves in all sorts of abominations, Gamboshel Yivoshu, Lachain, therefore the Pasuk says, Yiplu Banoflim, they will fall because they didn't have Busha, they weren't humiliated and embarrassed about their Toevos, about their abominations. And therefore, it says in the Pasuk, Yiplu ba'nefolim, ba'noflim, they will fall at the time of the Churban Yerushalayim. another explanation for the churban. Omer Rav Yitzchak, lo charv yishlaim el bishvil shehushvu katan v'gadol, that they equated those who are really truly great with those who aren't so great, and those who aren't so great, but nevertheless they would fawn them and flatter them. Shenemar Yishayo Anovi, in this case, Vohoya Keom Kakohen, that the Am and the Kohen, which is the Kotan and the Gadol, Hushvu Lamalachas, they equated them, Uksiv Basrei, and Yishayo Anovi says, Hibok Tibok Haaretz, which means that the land will be emptied out. And that's going to happen at the time of the Churban, of Churban Yushalayim. Om Rav Amram, Bereid Rabbi Shimon Bar Abam, Rabbi Shimon Bar Abam, Rabbi Chanina Lo Charvi Yishlaim El Bishvil Shlo Hochichu Zet Zet. They did not fulfill their obligation of Tochacha, of rebuke. Shenemar, as it says at the beginning of Eicha, Hayu Sorea Ke Ayolim Lo Matzu Mir'eh. Their offices, meaning the offices of the Jewish people, were like the Ayolim, the rams that didn't find any pasture. Ma ayol ze, rosho shall ayol ze, betzad znovo shall ayol ze. When they walk with one head that goes into the tail of the other one, one right behind the other. Af yisrael shavosa dar kovshu pnei bakarka velo hochichu ze ze. That the pasuk here is comparing Klal Yisrael to the ayal. That, like the Ayal, he translates Ayal as hearts, and they found no pasture. The heart walks in a herd with its head next to the tail of the other one, so the head is sort of bent down. So too the Israelites of that generation, they bury their heads in the ground. They don't want to look left and right and see wrongdoing. V'lo chichu zetzeh. And they did not chastise one the other. Om Rabbi Yudel Lachar v'Yushalayim Ela Bishvil Shebizu Ba Talmidei Chachamim. They humiliated and demeaned Torah scholars. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Malivim. Just one second. Pasuk says in Divrei Hayomim, Vayu Malivim B'Malachei Halokim Ubozim Dvarav. Umetatim b'neviyav ad alos chamas Hashem b'yamo ad li'ein marpe. They mocked the messengers of God. They despised his words. They scoffed at his prophets until the wrath of God rose up against his people until there was no remedy. And this is the last perek of Divrei Hayomim, that recounts the last years of Malchus Yisrael and the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash at the hands of the Bavliim. And the prophet reveals the reasons that God destroyed the land and the temple. And here in this pasuk, it's because they humiliated Talmidei Chachamim. Mayad ein marp, adli ein marpe. What are those last words that there won't be any remedy? Om Rabbi Yehuda Merav, kol mavazet Talmud Chochem, ein lo refuah l'makoso. Any spiritual malady, there will be no therapy for it. Om Rabbi Yehuda Merav, my d'chsiv, what does the pasuk in Divrei Hayomim mean when it says, al tig'u b'mshichai u'binvi'ai al toreu? Do not touch my anointed ones, and to my prophets do not harm. Al tigu b'mashichai, do not touch my anointed ones. Elu tinoko shel beis Raman. They are so pure, they're like the anointed ones. They have the greatest sanctity when these young school children study Torah. U'b'nevi'ai al toreu, do not harm my prophets. Elu talmidei chachamim. The Torah scholars in this pasuk are compared to prophets. And that is because in the absence of prophecy, it's the scholars of the generation that will reveal God's will. Omer Shlokish Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Nesia, Eina Olam Iskayim El Bishvil Hevel Tinoko Shel Beis Ramo. What keeps the world sustained is the merit of the breath, the pure breath of the mouths of the children, the school children, in the Torah, the words of Torah that they study and then they recite. Amalei Rapapal Abaye, Didi V'Didoch Mai. What about our Hevel? You and I, we're more mature. Is that less significant than the Hevel Piyam, the breath of the young children? Amalei Abaye said to him, Eino Dome Hevel Sheyesh Bochet LeHevel Sheein Bochet. The breath of the young children is pure, no taint of sin. Amrei Shlokish Pshur Rav Yehuda Nesiyah in Mevatlin Tinokol Shal Beis Raban Afilu Lebinyan Beis Hamikdash Tashbar Tinokol Shal Beis, so important that even for the building of the Beis Hamikdash we cannot divert the children from their Torah studies. The Amrei Shlokish Rav Yehuda Nesiyah Kach Mekublani Me'avosai, here's what I received in a tradition from my fathers. The Amrei Me'avosecha, some say that Reish Lakish meant the fathers of Rav Yehuda Nesiyah. Kol ir she'ein ba tinoka shebeis ravon, a city without school children should be destroyed. Machrimen osa, it has a din of ir anidachas, which has to be destroyed. Ravino mar natso, machrimen osa, which means that we put it into cherem, but it won't be necessarily destroyed. Amar ava lo charvi yishlaim el bishvil sheposku mimeno anshe amona, there were no longer people of truth that you could rely on, they disappeared, and therefore the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Shenemar, as it says in the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu HaNavi, Shotetu b'chutzos Yerushalayim u'ra'una u'da'u bakshu b'chorosea, search in the open places of Jerusalem, see and know, now and know, and seek in its streets, in Timtzu Ish, will you find even a person, im yesh osa mishpat, who does and dispenses mishpat, is justice, mevakesh amuna, who seeks the truth, ve'eslachlo, and then I forgive Jerusalem. But unfortunately, if you look in the marketplace of Jerusalem, and you look here and you look there, you will not find anyone who dispenses justice. There are no, what we call, anshe amuna. Anshe amuna means people of justice, who are dedicated to the truth. Ve'eni, is this really so? Ve'omer av ketina, afilu b'shas kilshona, Kishlona shall Yerushalayim lo pasku b'menu anshe amona. Even at that hour of Jerusalem's downfall, there were people of truth that did not disappear from it. Shenemar ki itfos ish bi'achiv base aviv simla lecha katzin tia lanu. Okay, this is a complicated pasuk in Yeshayahu Navi. When a man will grab hold of his brother, the house of his father, and he will say, you have a garment, be a chief for us. So therefore, there were people who, even at the hour of Jerusalem's downfall, were dedicated to truth. When the Pasuk says, grab hold of your garment, the garment here is an allusion to matters of Torah, concerning which people cover themselves, like a garment. Now, just like a garment covers the body, so too Torah protects the spiritual body. V'amachshela azos tachas yodecha, let the stumbling block be under your hand. Since you're knowledgeable, let the teachings of Torah be under your hand. Okay, now the stumbling block is a metaphor for the Torah, and the Gemara is going to explain this on Daf Kuf Chaf Amud Aleph.